June 20, 2016, Dakota County Board of Equalization at 301, Dakota County Board of Commissioners at 302.
All right, let's call the Board of Equalization to order. I'm going to stand and say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On the west wall near the entrance, there's a copy of the Open Meeting Act for everyone to take a look at. If they have any questions, they're on that board. You want to call roll, John?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Okay, approval of the previous minutes for June 6th and the 13th, 2016.
I'll make that motion.
We got a motion by Bill Rohde.
Second.
And a second by Dick McNair. You want to call roll, please?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Okay, before we go into new business, I'd like to call for a recess because Jeff Curry's in with some people and we'd like him to be here. So I have a motion to recess in a little while.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion by Scott Love and a second by Dick McNair to go into a recess.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Okay, Scott.
Dick?
Yours.
Okay, we're going to go into the Board of Commissioners. The current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance for any people in review and attendance. Will you call roll, please, John?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda items. I'm going to do A through D, which is approval of the previous minutes, June 6th, payroll claims, approval of accounts payable claims, and then approval of official reports. Bill and I went through claims and payroll claims and all the APs. Everything looks fine. So I need an approval for A through D on the consent agenda items.
I make a motion to approve the agenda, consent agenda items from item A to D.
I'll second that.
Okay, we've got a motion by Tony, second by Rick. Will you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, E on the consent agenda, it's approval for resolution 16C-012 to appropriate monies for the over expenditure budget of the Sheriff's Department in the amount of $10,000. Sheriff?
The amount of this money basically is what we've got reimbursement coming from the state for highway safety grant. I am over budget by about $1,100, so I apologize for that to the board and the people of Dakota County. I just don't have any excuses. So, but most of this is on its way from the state. It just didn't hit before the end of the budget.
Yep.
But we're saying in this resolution you'll take that money basically from your jail budget. You'll decrease your jail budget by $10,000. Is that what we're saying in this resolution?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. She says, yes, that's what we're doing.
So one from the other, basically. Mm-hmm.
So it's really not costing.
Right.
And most of it's reimbursed by the state anyway.
Okay. That's fine. I would move to approve resolution 16C-012.
Second. Okay. Got a motion by Bill and a second by Tony. Will you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Okay, F, approve of resolution 16C-013, appropriate monies for the over expenditure budget of legal services in the amount of $12,200.
It was on the line item of appointed county council. This is the budget line item that went over.
Okay. It takes a lot of money to, you don't know actually, you know, where that's going to be at. Again, that's kind of a crapshoot, obviously. So, anyways, $12,200 is what the over expended budget is.
For the court appointed counsel.
Yep.
For the court.
And anybody who goes through claims, you always see there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 16C-013. for the Overstand Legal Services amount of $12,200.
Okay, I got a motion by Tony.
I'll second that.
Second by Rick. We call roll, please, John.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, new business. Approved resolution 16C-009 declaring the county personal property as unusable, obsolete, surplus property. We got a list. And when does this take place again, Joan?
This Friday.
Friday the 24th. Yep. Friday the 24th in the basement from 9 to 4 p.m. We do this a couple times a year, right? Yep, a couple times a year. I think it's pretty formality. Just the things that are obsolete.
Required by statute to
put them up for sale.
And
they could be, you know, like you said, anything can go for a dollar. Why not sell?
I know we've donated a lot of it after the sale. It just, nobody wants it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to declare personal property unusable and obsolete. Resolution 16C-009.
Okay. Rick made a motion on
second.
The second by Dick. Call roll, please. Joan?
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Moving on to B here. Approved resolution 16C-010 adopting the 2016 Papio River Natural Resources, the Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Deanna?
No, Deanna.
Okay. I'm here.
Everybody look at it in their packet. I think it's formality, right, Joan?
It is. We did it last year also.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dried. I would make a motion to approve the 16C-010. Adopting the Papio, Missouri Resources District Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Second. We've got Bill and Rick. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
C, what... approval of resolution 16C-011, the LEOP, Deanna Beckman.
Layout plan.
The layout plan, so.
Emergency management. Sheriff, do you have
anything?
I don't think we have any on there.
I don't have nothing.
The layout plan was something that NEMA's looking for quite some time now. We got that all put together with Deanna, and I thought last year this was done, so.
It was for 2015, and then
so, and I'm pretty certain I haven't talked to her, but I think she's got that ready to go now. So.
Yep.
Okay. Again, I think it's a formality thing, right?
Yeah. It's been approved.
Just need to put the stamp on it. Yep. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 16C-011.
Second it.
I got a motion by myself and a second by Tony. Will you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, item D, the board approval for the LEC committee to meet quarterly instead of monthly, with the co-chair and chair going in monthly to sign claims. I know at our last commissioner committee report, last meeting, I think I updated everybody and said that we were kind of going quarterly, and I know that John Saunders for the city, he kind of talked to everybody, but Bill McClarty thought that it had to have been on it. It was an agenda item to make sure that we had the blessing that we could go quarterly instead of monthly with this. So we just need someone's blessing to approve for the LEC.
And that's meeting. Just for a full board meeting.
Yeah, and then right. Obviously we can call special or emergency meetings if we need. And then, like I said, John or I, as co and co-chair, we will go in monthly and sign the claims. Right. And they'll still mail the claims out monthly to everyone. It's just that we will not meet every month, which is the second Tuesday of the month, I think, is what it is. We'll just meet quarterly.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Right. It does, because, you know, with the new equipment they installed and everything else, you know, it makes sense for us to meet in every month. So I would like to make a motion to the committee meets on a quarterly basis on the Law Enforcement Center Committee instead of not again. My motion.
Okay, I got a motion by Tony and a second by Bill for the LEC committee to be able to meet quarterly. Big call roll, please, Joan.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
We're going to go to three miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, Road Report.
June 5th to the 18th. 360 hours of total road maintenance, overtime hours 10 hours, tree and debris removal 10 hours, projects 45 hours on R Avenue, 20 hours on Lutton, 18 hours on 215th Street, and 68 hours on Moody. These are all culverts either being replaced or making pullable again. Mowing 3 hours, gravel hauled 1,800 total tons of aggregate, signs 35 hours, road concerns 155th Street for grading, Q Avenue for gravel, and that is it.
It's amazing that you only have 10 hours tree removal with this snowstorm. You know, yeah. So must be pretty lucky on that. Only 10 hours of tree removal. That's all you spent?
For
this last weekend.
So that's about that. 10 hours, that was Friday night. A couple guys went out. We didn't get really a lot of calls from either LEC, Sheriff's Report, or anyone else, but we did know where some trees were down. And
got it out of the way.
Maybe this week we can hit mowing pretty heavily, right? Maybe this week or next week. And then have we found anything about striping some of these hard surface roads?
I did contact Dakota Traffic. He has said he was going to contact me back last week. I haven't heard from him, but I will push his button again.
Okay. Fair enough. Any other questions for Fred?
Good to see all seven of those maintainers running up and down the road. Did a good job. Okay.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, miscellaneous B, Sheriff Kleinberg requesting board approval to make a purchase over $5,000 for law enforcement vehicles.
Well, it's kind of hard in the same meeting. These trucks, again, it was remainder of budget, and they gave us trade-ins for 2015 models. So these three trucks, the remaining balance after the trade-in was $71,000 for three trucks. So these are brand-new Chevy trucks that we'll put on the road for.
And they're all 16s, and you're trading in a 2000 Ford Ford van, or Ford pickup, and a 2005 Ford, that's the van, right?
Yes.
And then lastly, you're trading in a 2008, a Silverado. And they all roughly run 150 to 190,000 miles.
Yes. The Silverado's still on the road. It's one of the deputy's trucks, and it's got broken leaf springs, and we're going to have to come with a couple grand to replace all them, and I want to put money. So.
Yeah, it's time to get rid of them. Have that many miles on them, and so I think for trading the difference for three different vehicles for almost $71,500, I think you did fine.
The white van we couldn't really drive out of town. It's that old Ford van, 190-some thousand. It made it to Sioux Falls though. I was pretty surprised.
Perfect. All right. Well, so anyways, we need approval from the board so Kleinberg can make this, Sheriff Kleinberg can make the purchase.
I would make that motion.
Motion by Bill.
Second.
Second by Tony. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay. What color are these vehicles so I can look? Are they all silver?
I can
on the lookout for them?
They're a bright green.
Quite green this time. Yeah, I like the black truck. Black truck with black lettering on it. That glows at nighttime.
That's hard to see.
That's Randy's new truck.
Too late.
Scott.
Okay. We're going to go to commissioner committee reports. Any commissioner committee reports? Anybody wants to share?
Northeast Nebraska, beautiful.
I think we scheduled now for September to do the highway cleanup. But we still can't do I-29. State won't let us go in there, so that's fine.
You know, to me, I think that's a spring project. You know, coming into the September and trying to do something like that with the grass and everything. I mean, you got to catch it.
It's already been mowed over 10 times.
Right.
I know, it is a mess.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to do something like that, in my eyes, and I know that you guys kind of got backed up and there was a few different weekends that everybody was busy, graduations, but I don't know. I think one's spinning their wheels. Picking up something's better than nothing. I get it. Anyways, okay. And Tony and I had our LEC board, and they got all their updates all up and running. They made they got the LEC, their communication center room, bigger. So everything's going well at the LEC.
Good.
New part-time maintenance guy they want to hire.
Yeah. I know that, was it Lloyd? Lloyd Peterson that passed away a few months back.
Yeah.
And they had one applicant that came in, so.
Jimmy Hansen.
Yep, Jim Hansen's his name. He lives in Southridge. So he's, they hired him. So,
one thing that really surprised me, those guys were, even though it's a part-time job, they were only making $9 an hour. So we kind of promoted to $12 an hour because, God, $9 an hour.
I know they're retired guys and, they work 20 hours a week.
They do the job.
If there's no other commission committee reports, we'll move on to mail or emergency business. Is there any? Oh, yes, Bill. Okay, commissioners. Roger has had the pleasure of working with Bill Johnson, the Veterans Service Officer for Dakota County and Dixon Counties. Bill did all of the required paperwork, and Roger had been able to see at the Norfolk Clinic. He had been turned down times before. Bill is a pleasant person to work with, and we commend him for all that he has done for Roger. Roger and Joe Paulson. So that's nice to see and hear.
Where are they from, Scott?
Dixon County, right? They was trying to go to the Norfolk Clinics, and they were turning him down. So once Bill's been going over there, he got... things taken care of.
Bill has done a lot for the veterans, even in Dakota County. But since he's taken over Dixon County, he's turned it around for them too.
Yeah, they all love him over there.
So
that's always good to hear. I know he takes a lot of pride in his job. Bill does. Yep. He takes it serious. So, good for him. Okay, let's move on to 6, public comment.
I know there's a bunch of people here that want to talk about North Bluff Road and maybe having some shoulders put on there. Is there one certain person who wants to be a spokesperson for that and kind of lead into where we're headed?
Well, we're just concerned about the drop-offs along the road. And we know that there's a grave liability out there to count because somebody is going to get killed on that road. Our son, we don't want that to happen again. Something has to happen. I mean, the trucks have eroded the edge of the road where there's 8-inch drop-offs on a lot of it. And just the other day, I was coming down my driveway, and a young man was coming up the road with a half-ton pickup with a shuttle of Roundup in it. He was taking it over to our farm. And he dropped off the road, and he just about rolled his truck. And we can tell you several different times when people have dropped off, and they pull back on, and it's a knee-jerk reaction to jerk your truck or your car hard when you do that. And that's not the right thing to do, but they do it. And they get into trouble. And we think that if we could put some plans together to get a shoulder on that road on either side, maybe a 3-foot shoulder, it would eliminate the maintenance of taking care of it. Because we've tried several times. The guys have been out and put gravel along the road, and it lasts a little while, but it don't stay, And it's not a permanent fix. I think a shoulder would be a permanent fix. Eliminate the continuous maintenance on the thing. I don't know, paved shoulder or a blacktop shoulder. I'm not an engineer, so I can't tell you how to do it. But I know it's got to be heavy enough to handle heavy traffic, because tractors are always, if you meet somebody on that road with a farm tractor, you've got to pull over. And you can see the wear strips along the road. It's 3 foot out, you know. And it gets enough traffic that it keeps the grass from growing. So, and that's our concern. That's why we're here today, to get something started. I don't know what we have to do, if we have to contact an engineering company to get it done or what, but I think it's got to start with the commissioners, probably.
How wide is that, Fred? 23? How wide is that highway?
On Billery Creek?
No.
The North Bluff. I think those are 11-foot lanes.
So 22-foot.
It is narrow.
Very narrow.
And I know they've tried to rock it several times, and it like Harold said, it's good for a while, and then it...
You know, the Highway 20, old Highway 20 from, like, the South Sioux part, from, like, King Auto, you know, past your house, going into Great West, same thing. You know, there's holes along the side. I've called the city many of times, and they go out there and they fill it full of rock, and within a week...
It's pitching back out.
Yeah, the rock is gone, you know.
Fred, have you got any current traffic counts on that road?
No.
What would it take to get some...
Get a traffic counter and put on it.
Yeah. Do we need to do a 1 and 6 on that? Do we need to put in a 1 and 6 to get on shoulders?
You could call it general maintenance, or but you could put it on the 1 and 6 and have them amended too.
When you're talking shoulders, are you talking concrete? Are you talking blacktop? What are you thinking?
I think a person should probably look at both costs, find a contractor, paving, someone like say Gill and a Knife River. Just compare.
Would you say project 1 to 6 will be the sooner that we can get something done?
How soon?
Yeah.
As soon as they say it's all right to go through the process.
On a project like that and a ballpark figure, what do you think it is?
Yeah.
I'd hate to guess.
That's a long ways. It's a long road.
It is a long road.
Would 2 foot do it?
No.
You need the minimum of 3?
Ronnie Gill said 4 foot, but you don't think there's enough shoulder to do a 4 foot.
Probably not.
He said 2 foot won't hold up.
It won't.
No. And he's kind of an expert at
that.
So we got no choice. They got 3 foot.
I don't think we have time to put it off. Something's got to happen. Somebody's going to die on it. We're going to get a $50 lawsuit over the deal.
My brother died on because of this whole situation. And I think McDorsey got an accident.
Yeah, he did.
Messed him up a lot too. Right. So it needs to be done.
You know, Highway 110 is the same. We got the same problem out there. I know the state's been looking at the same thing. You know, they go off, they try to correct themselves, and then they're in the ditch, upside down.
Well, could we do this? Let's put it out for bid. Have Fred do some measurements of what we need on a 3 foot shoulder on both sides. Put it out for bid and see what the bids come in. And we'll have to see if we can appropriate the funds to do it.
Get it done.
Because I don't know that we'd have enough in our hard surface to do it right now.
What is that, about 4 miles? Mm-hmm. Isn't it about four?
4.5, maybe.
Maybe 4.5.
What about the traffic count on it?
Yeah. We can still have a traffic count.
Because there's a lot of semis that go on that road.
Yeah.
And then shortcut.
That'd give us more justification for doing it, you know.
I bet your traffic count would probably scare you. I mean, meaning there's a lot of traffic on it. I know that every time I'm on that road, I always meet 2 or 3 trucks or whatever.
And another thing to keep in mind, when the shoulders aren't maintained like they are presently, the water sits there, we get big water puddles. And I visited with Ronnie Gill about it the other day, and that's part of the reason the road's breaking up and going to shit so fast. Because that there's nothing to hold the pressure on the edge of that concrete. And if you notice where the edges are breaking away, it's because the shoulders have been not maintained. If we wait 2 or 3 years to do this, we're going to get to repave the majority of the road. Because it's just going to be broke up chunks of concrete. It's deteriorating fast. I'm sure Fred can attribute to that. It's breaking up.
And I think the road should have been wider in the first place when they went to the expense of putting it in. What was wrong with putting it another foot wider on both sides?
It was a state-funded road to begin with, wasn't it?
Yes. That's what parameters that we kind of follow. State only let it go 22.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
part of it was state funded, not all of it.
That's
the county had to bond out for it. We just, it wasn't too many years ago that we finished paying for that road.
Right.
And maybe 6 years ago, 6-8 years ago. I can't remember for sure. I know I was on the board at the time and we had talked about that going off. It's been a long time ago because Jackie Hartnell was on board at that time, so. But let's do some measurements. Let's get some estimates, and then we'll open some bids and see where we
want to do concrete and asphalt.
I would say both.
I would get both of them, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say both of them, right. And have a count.
Yes,
Trudy?
Well, Fred can get on it right away. We got to do some advertising. We'll have to put it in the paper to put it out for bid. And then go.
Well, it'll be a month before we get our bids back.
Right. It'll be 2 or 3 weeks.
Not to complicate things, but would it be possible to maybe look at two options? One would be adding a foot to each side of the road in addition to the 3 foot or 4 foot of shoulder, as opposed to just the three, four foot of shoulder.
Right.
Well, the problem is there isn't enough shoulder there to
cover it. Living room.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask Gerald, because I don't. 3 foot's going to be running on bottom of that pretty terrible.
Yeah.
You're going to be right on the edge of it when you go 3 feet, right?
Yeah. But 2 feet won't work.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, Franny's looked at it and said 3 foot is be, you know, sufficient.
Yeah.
Or do you have to get an engineer involved, Fred? Do you have to get an engineer?
No, I don't. You can do it. So I think we can just go down and cut, make your slope. You have 1% slope.
All right.
Okay.
That's why, and if one of the contractors say that they're running into problems where there is an engineer, well, okay. Look at that one.
All right.
But I don't foresee.
Well, okay. We can do this.
Yes. What's your question?
So, meantime, while you're doing all these figures and deciding whether you can do the hard surface or not, can we get dirt and rock put in the holes that are there?
Yeah, we can. We'll do some maintenance on it and fill the holes in.
Because it is long overdue, and I've gone to Fred twice in the last few years and asked that those holes be filled. And I know several people that have dropped off it. And we've had a family member have a rollover with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time things get serious out there.
Understand.
But the shoulders haven't been maintained for years, because they really weren't maintained when they got done pouring the concrete.
What's the speed limit on that road? 45?
50.
About 90.
Well, that I know. I've been out there. I know. I've seen it.
About 90, 100.
The average speed.
What do you go?
I go 20.
Oh, shit. The sheriff's
got it over his shoulder.
No,
we'll get
speed on that road. Yeah.
We will get right after it.
Trudy, what's your...
Go ahead.
Mine's related, but a little different. I would also like to know what the status is of the plan to pave M Avenue from Hubbard at least to Cramper Lake. It's been on the 1 in 6 year plan for 30 or 40 years.
So
and
that's not
we
1 in 6.
A lot more traffic now with the lake. I've heard from campers that are refusing to go out there because of the shape of the road is. I drive it every day to work, and it's hard. I've lost a mirror off my Jeep just from driving, and I only drive 15.
it's something, that is something that we've been talking about.
One big thing is tourism, Dakota County, revenue. We need to get that increased, and that's my main motive for that.
What our objective is we would like to, we've been talking to Papio a little bit, okay, with Schumacher, trying to figure out how we can come to terms together as a county and them, of trying to get some funding together.
And what did Terry say?
Of course, he needs to talk to his people and meet with their board and talk to them. And this has probably been a couple months ago when I talked to him about this.
Have you talked to Games and Parks in the village of Hubbard?
I have not. I have not personally. I don't know if anybody else here has. But I know it was, you know, Schumacher's who
we
I talked to.
Need to get a joint meeting between all those groups and discuss it and get a plan formulated.
I think we all think it's important that it gets done.
It's not as dangerous as the bluff road that we're all talking about here. But I wanted to bring it up at the same time. And if there's a way to allocate the budget to maintenance, like Fred said, for the bluff road, get more money towards M Avenue for the 1 and 6, whatever you need to do. But I think those two are the priority in the county, and not South Sioux and not Homer. I mean, I don't nothing against them. I love those towns, but we've done a lot for those areas. It's time we need to do something for Hubbard, too.
Okay. What else? Anything else? Any other public comment on anything with the commissioners here, with the county board here, nothing? Okay. Thank you all for coming and your concern, and we got a game plan here going on. So. Okay, I'm going to adjourn the county commissioners. I'm going to turn it back over to Rick for the Board of Equalization.
Thank you, guys.
Now, you guys, if you want to, you can stay for Board of Equalization, or you can take off if your only concern was the road issues.
Yep.
So, but we'll get right after those. Those road issues, we'll get right after.
As soon as we can.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to proceed or come out of recess.
Reconvene.
We've got a motion by Bill Rohde,
second,
and a second by Tony Gomez to reconvene the Board of Equalization.
They need to leave.
So,
here we go.
Joan, you want to call roll on that?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, if you guys don't be quiet, we're going to raise all your taxes so that we can...
We're going into the tax right now.
We're here.
They don't need that, eh?
Okay, we want to. We've already been to the approval process. New business: board to approve and appoint set compensation for the use of certified appraisers as referees for property valuation protests. Jeff, you have some comments there.
The only thing I would add to that is I think just what the compensation had been was $75. So, I mean, as a starting point, I'm not sure if there's a new organization involved what they would charge, but I know we have some folks under a contract at $75, so I would look for $75 to start with anyway.
Obviously, we talked about this a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we were looking at a local person, and that local person forfeited a referee. Conflict of interest.
Okay.
As him being a realtor. So I don't know what our options are since they start in 2 days. I think they start the 23rd, or the 22nd, and they're double booked right now. So... You know, and I know that we talked about us doing it ourselves, of twos, you know, meeting with people. I think the right thing to do here, and I don't know if it's even possible, and I know we talked a little bit on Friday,
yeah,
is the 6,400 and some odd parcels that changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, is it possible for your office to buy time with the state and to go over each and every one of them and reevaluate and check them over?
Yeah, I don't have a firm answer on that right now. We've been looking to see if there was something we could do with that. And as of right now, there isn't. But I, like I said, there's still conversations taken in between meetings and things like that. But I think once the Turk sent the letter, there was no, you know, everybody approved our level of value. I think we lost that initially as an option. Is my feeling on that. But again, like I said, we'll pursue every avenue we can.
I mean, you got to look. Okay, this is the way that I'm looking at this. Obviously, the people that are coming into protest are people that valuations went up 25, 35, 45, 100 grand, whatever. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The absurd numbers. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they're going to come in and protest, and some of them might be accurate, some might be error. Oh. Right, correct. Yeah. So what I'm afraid of is if we as a group here would look at these and see that a person went up $150,000, you know, obviously we cannot, I mean, we can make a recommendation, then we got to meet as a board again, then we got to approve them. But my concern is the 6% across the board that you tell us that the increase has been, all of the ones that decreased, how are we going to get them back to where they need to be? So then we're going to go in the negative. And I've talked this about 200 times to people. You know, I mean, obviously the people that are protesting, the 271 protests as of today that we've received are people that, you know, the people that taxes went down, there's a few that are concerned, obviously, that came in and says, hey, why did mine drop so much? You know, but a lot of them that dropped the 15, 20,000, you know, they're smiling all the way to the bank right now, thinking that it's good. And what bothers me about that is, and I know you've heard this, that the housing market's booming in South Sioux City. And I heard from somebody that there was 14 houses that were for sale, and two of them were pretty crappy. If that's true or not, I don't know.
You're not. It's a supply and demand problem.
Right.
Supply
is at the lowest. If things are booming so well. Mm-hmm. In the city, in the housing market, you know, why are they depleting the values? That's my concern. And as far as equalization goes, you know, and you've seen it, you've heard it. My neighbor went down, mine went up. My, you know, so it ain't like the article that came from Omaha that they took a certain area that went up 7%, and then the other area in Omaha went down 5%. You know, I mean, this here is all over the board.
Yeah.
You know, from neighbor to neighbor. It ain't like it's one neighborhood versus another neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess, and I think Bill and I kind of talked about this, why can't we just start from scratch on this and start over? Fair statement, Bill?
Yeah, I'd like to see your office go through those, each one of those changes.
There's
6,400 of them. Just under 7,000.
Some of them need to be revised. 7,000 maybe total. Some of them don't. Mm-hmm. But if your office could go through them all.
That's part of the... You're right. I mean, we're all looking for logical approaches to attack this with. And I am too. And to do it the easiest way that we're looking for now before that is to find a situation that would impact, because we're talking residential.
Right.
So residential is what we would define as a class of property. So if we could say residential as a whole, which we've already done, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. But then we can also go to what they call a subclass. So it's class residential subclass, for example, a rural acreage, like a plat, like Tompkins Edition, sure. L&L, something. If we could find, so that's what the assessor's office is in process of doing now, and we brought in some help to help us look at that. So then what we can do is we could take all 1,000 of those and say, hey, that particular subclass, if we could prove the level of value wasn't right or a sales ratio is below like a 92, for example, or above 100, that's one thing that the board, and this is where we can go right to the Turk and say, hey, we want an adjustment on this entire class. And then we would do that legwork, because we still have to prove it, but
right.
We would, by doing what we're doing now, we're going to be able to prove it when we find it, that if that would be an example, if that would be a class too high, or a lot of the stuff that went down. We're really digging on the stuff that went down right now. That's what we're trying to say. If they would let us define subclass as a neighborhood. So like reductions in neighborhood 100, and we can prove nobody went up too much or nobody's right, or it's like the whole thing requires 7 or 8%, we could take well over 1,000 again at one time and fix them.
So is there roughly 4,000 properties that didn't change? Because obviously if you did not get a letter in the mail, you did not have a change.
Yeah, to get your letter, it had to be $5 up or $5 down. Okay. Then it would print you a statement.
So
change of value.
Roughly 4,000 did not change?
No, it They would change within $5. So of the 6,700 and whatever we sent out, primarily that is mostly residential.
Right.
So the bulk of that would have had at a minimum a $5 up or $5 down. You know, the minimum, that from the minimum.
But I just know there's people that said they never received them. How come I didn't receive them?
Right.
And I stated to them, well, because it didn't change.
Well, yeah. So
what is the total residential, you know, so we can subtract that? I mean, roughly
they would
10,000, 11,000 minus the 6,700?
Yeah, because if you look at, we have, you know, well over 10,000. So
right.
The people who didn't change, I'm going to imagine, or more than likely, in a 4,000 class, again, back to a different class, or they might have a parcel that is actually commercial or industrial zone or something. They're not classed with the residential people. Because I think, really, commercial went up a little under 2% this year because we're still in the middle of the reappraisal. And ag, unless you had a building permit on an agricultural parcel, you stayed the same. So if somebody didn't get one, then they either didn't meet the $5, which would mean we were right on, which I don't think that happens. But especially when you do mass appraisal like we do.
I firmly believe that if your property went down in value, that's wrong. Okay, this is my opinion. I think it's wrong. Okay?
Okay.
Because if the state mandated, this is my opinion, if the state mandated a 5% last year, okay,
right,
across the board.
They did.
Okay, they did. We had 170 protests last year. Give or take.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Whatever. You came in, we told them it was mandated by the state, okay, thank you, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also believe that there's a few of them that went up that probably where they need to be at, but I think a few of them, probably a bulk of them, is out of hand. So you got some that are out of hand, some that probably maybe need to be where they're at now, and then the ones that drop, that is foolish why they even dropped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've all heard the stories. We could sit here for hours and talk about the stories where my house was assessed for 90, now it's 50,000,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, it went down 20,000. I mean, so
yeah.
I don't even know. I think all of us in the last couple of weeks have been in a barrel spinning down a hill. We just don't know which way to lean or turn or which way to go right now.
No.
Because it's
we as a group here can sit in here for
weeks.
And myself, am I qualified to say this house is worth $250,000 or $300,000? I'm not qualified.
No.
See, that's what my house is worth.
That's where I was.
Appraisal.
That last week.
I think we're spinning our wheels. I think your office needs to go through them. We can review them when it's all done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
some of them need to be up. You know, I'm sure there's improvements. You're going to have reasons for some of them to go up. Some of them maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. We're kind of working two shifts right now.
I know.
And looking into this, because our office goal would be to find, and I've been calling it the golden bullet, the golden egg, whatever you want, the needle in the haystack. Because, Scott, just like you're describing, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the high, the low, the kind of in there. And that's how you get a level of value. So when the state or the Turk says our sales ratio study, that level of value is at 95, it's balanced out. That doesn't mean some aren't too low, or that doesn't mean some aren't too high. It just means when you take all 280, 300 sales and start divvying this up, everybody hits a level of value, and that's my mouth's drying up. I can't imagine. I've been talking all day, right? But what happens is when we find this and we go, we have to prove it. And we fought the 5% last year, and we went in and it was kind of the same thing. If you do 5, some are going to go up too much, some are going to go back down more than they should.
Yeah.
And the folks that are right, now you're going to take them out. But ultimately what it boiled down to after 4.5 hours of a hearing with those folks was your sales are good, yes. Level of values, yes. Then we lost. I mean, ultimately, based on that, so it's my job right now to help this board and to help the county is to find something to help us. One way or the other. I don't know if it's the high or if it's the low. Or if,
right.
You know, if I can find one neighborhood is out of compliance, then that's level of value. Then we just go back and say, hey, we need everybody here needs to go up or down this percentage. Maybe to offset the drop.
But I'm with Bill. Everyone's house, if they've built it, and if they've ever had a bank loan on it, the bank will only loan them so much money on it.
Yep.
So So every house has to have a correct value. This 5% thing is not going to correct that.
No, that's why it's so hard to get them to make a change in a big number where you really got to be able to prove you're not going to hurt any. Because what we're talking about is equalization.
We spent $150,000 just a year or so ago to get a program that we could actually hone in on the top of somebody's house, maybe even look in the window.
The GIS
program. And did that help us or hurt us, or why are we not using something like that?
We're using GIS, but we didn't get that. 150 was actually pictometry that goes on top of it. Our imagery is very poor. I mean, we still have to physically drive out. We would love to have that, because if we had that tool, this process is so much easier and so much quicker. But we don't have that tool, and budget-wise, we haven't even presented it as a request yet to add to a budget. But the GIS is there, and what a GIS really gives you is a rough outline of what your parcel is, and you can see a rough line, and that's it. I mean,
it's like Google Earth.
Not as good. Google Earth has actually got better imagery than we do.
But you know, like you talked about values being, you know, I've heard people that their values were 100 dropped to 25, or yeah. Some were zero.
Yeah, those people will have to come in. Yeah, that's bad.
So anyway,
I had a comment today that a guy living in South Sioux City, his property is value zero. Mm-hmm. No value.
And that's the stuff that's wrong that has to be fixed.
Well, definitely.
Yeah, so I mean,
So the only way to correct it is to go through each individual parcel, get the correct value on them, go out and look at them, take pictures of them or whatever, or if you don't have them in there, or if it's maybe definitely. You could already take care of it, and then come back.
How much time do we have?
Yeah.
I mean, because obviously we have these protests that start in 2 days.
We have until July 26th. That's our last opportunity to get the board has till July 25 to rule on what's coming in now, the protest forms. But we have, to do something big, the stuff we're talking about in mass, we have, I think, July 26 is the deadline for us to issue a petition. And we have to go right to Turk, I mean, and petition them and say, hey.
I think we need to petition the Turk for an extension.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
And not even touch it, because halfway through. There's no way with the manpower that you have in your assessor's office. And like Bill said, I'm not going to put a value on Randy's house. I don't know. I'm not a realtor. I'm not an appraiser. You know, I'm not going to do it.
And for, no, and I don't blame you.
I think we're spinning our wheels by trying to do that. I just can't see if that's going to do anything.
And I don't blame you. I mean, because I'll give you guys a record, but even then, with the workload we have, even working two shifts now, I may not get that recommendation to you until the July 25th meeting, to be honest. And even then, it's just my recommendation based on how much time we had available to look at it. So it would be a tough decision on your guys' part.
What's the worst thing the state can do to us? If we roll them all back to last year's valuations and added 5%, what would they do? I know it's a state statute that we can't do that, but you know what? We're under the gun here, and I don't know what else.
I see what you're saying. I honestly don't know what a repercussion of that would be. The only thing, and this is I guess I don't know the statutes on if we did do something. My only estimate on that, ultimately, I guess they would, in my opinion, maybe take us to Turk and prove.
Him would be busy for a while, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess take us to Turk, and then we'd have to prove why the level of value and everything else said this, and we're going to do that.
It's going to buy us time, you know.
We can't do that as a board, but you can as the assessor.
What I can do is do an over or under value of this list we're talking about in mass. And that's why we're at two shifts right now to find it, so we can put it in if we find it.
You know, we're going to come back here Wednesday. I don't think we're going to get anything accomplished. Absolutely nothing.
Is it possible that with the board and somebody with the knowledge of evaluations, you know, I mean, the referee, you know, more than anything else. They can give us some guidance, somebody that really has the knowledge about the valuation on the county. I mean, because like you said, Bill, we don't have any expertise and knowledge about what frequency has worth. I mean, if they go and do an appraisal on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With all the cattle he has there, for me, it's had no value. But then,
I mean,
it has to be fair. When at the end of the day, it has to be fair.
Yeah, you're going to have mad people if you don't do it right.
Yeah. Well, no matter what we do, when you go from a 2003 to a 2015 cost table, when you update a land study and you do it all in the same year, and then on top of that. In the reports and opinions, is we had tables that weren't even connected, so it didn't matter what your condition was, it wasn't calculating anyway. So there were adjustments made to get a value in the past. So when you reconnect everything and fix it in a database, everything starts to calculate the right way. The problem is, if nobody's been out to that property, say, since 2008, what somebody else may have put in there actually calculates that. The database is fine, but what a lot of people have said is it doesn't matter how good the database is. There's a human putting data into it, and that's what spits out the product, and there's a lot of colorful expressions for what goes in and what comes out. And that's what, and I think what you guys are asking is that's what you want us to look at, which needs to be done over the course. So you're always going to be a few years off, because the statute is we get 6 years, and then within those 6 years, we better have knocked on everybody's door, have a new picture, and those things. So when we get here, we don't have quite what we're dealing with now. So it's...
My concern is, you know, Dakota County is getting a black eye on this thing, and I look at Ho-Chunk and the investment they've made or are going to make.
Oh, yeah.
Does somebody want to build Dakota County right now? Probably not with all this going on. You know, I think it's going to hurt their...
We've had other counties. Yeah, we've heard from other counties and folks as well. It's Douglas. We're not Douglas yet, right? But right. I mean, so the only thing we can say is we're not Douglas. But all the other counties are saying we're not Dakota. Yeah, well, I mean, so I don't want to be that either.
No,
right?
I want to be the other
counties.
Correct, and I think we can do it.
And that's what we're putting. Like I said, we've had other recent to our contract. Commercial contracting company, we had them come in and spend 2 days looking for the things that we're talking about. We had our liaison, and we're lucky in the fact that we have a liaison in our office that's actually been an assessor, sat in the chair, and can explain this from an assessor's opinion. And, you know, so she's been with the state, against the state, whole nine yards. So, and they've been in here, and I know they're coming back tomorrow, actually, to keep digging into this. So we have more resources in here, you know, working towards that date. The whole thing is we got to be able to prove the level of value, that sales ratio study, that what by doing what it is we need to do. And I don't even know if that's right, and I think Rick touched on this. If we find something and we can prove it, if we did the 6%, the one thing I haven't found is, like, let's say... it's neighborhood 100 that's too low, the numbers we're hearing about. And we just jack everybody in neighborhood 100 up 10%, 6%, whatever it may be. We've already been through neighborhood 100 just visually looking at numbers. And there are people that they're on the high end. There's quite a few who are on there. And there's quite a few who are on the... So we're just going to create that imbalance, or we're going to lose equalization. I can't speak for the Turk, I can't speak for the state or any of those people, but I know when they talk about equalization, when you make changes, if you're equalized but it's too low, that's your first step. It's better to be there than create a bigger problem and throw more people out of it. Because when you're equalized, when we get through all these and review them, they can be fixed individually, correctly, to bring them back to where they need to be. And as an assessor, then we could roll sales values next year, and I can change 100 with one click. I don't have to look at them.
Right.
And then we don't run into the, you know what I mean?
Once you get to that point.
And we're close. That would be my only concern with anything is we're on board with helping the board get anything done we can, but as long as the structure of the CAMA system doesn't get impacted, that's what we're protecting.
Okay.
And the taxpayers too, naturally. So we're trying to talk to as many as we can. And we've extended some hours to do that. I know tomorrow morning we're doing early morning meetings, and
okay.
Just so we can find them. At a minimum, we're going to find them one at a time for you guys for sure.
Good.
And then we'll continue to dig and see what if there's anything else that will help us. I mean, and we'll take anything at this point.
Yeah.
I don't. If it's 800, if it's whatever it is,
it
will help
willing,
us.
If I was willing as a taxpayer in Dakota County to get my own house appraised. By a
yep.
certified appraiser. Would
yep.
you use that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As long as they got that Nebraska license, yep. then they're held by a certain code of ethics and the use
okay.
path. And
so what do you do, 100% of the appraisal, or you do 95% of it?
Pardon? The
90.
What do I... Oh, where would we be?
Yeah, like say the appraisal is $260,000. Would you take 95% of that $260,000?
Yeah, there's room in that appraisal. We would naturally read the appraisal, too.
Right.
I mean, the statute says we should be at 100% of market, so we would always say we would put you at whatever the market value is. But we also have to interpret it, knowing our county, knowing our sales. But having an appraisal makes it an easier job for everybody. And we do have folks that are turning some of those in for us. The only... Yeah, but that's good. That's a good tool.
Okay, so what did we get figured out here today?
Well, here's the thing. The item A is appoint and set compensation for the use of certified appraiser as a referee for property violation protest. So are we talking about hiring a referee or what?
That's what I'm asking. What are we getting accomplished?
Well, I think we need one. You know, at least to advise us. And give us some lead about what property valuation is. And I, you know, nothing against nobody. And I recommend Dick McNair. Dick.
What?
Dick Erickson.
Yeah.
Dick Erickson.
When I was hoping, and that's whatever we got to do to we got to hire people. I was hoping we was going to come in here. And these meetings on the 22nd and 23rd, that we were going to be able to postpone them and let your office regroup.
Well,
is
right.
what I was hoping for.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
the perfect world. As of right now, it can. Yeah, and not that I'm giving up on that, because you and I had spoken about that. So
the June 22nd and 23rd, we can't pull them off the list.
Not right now. Huh?
So who do we find to referee then for us in 2 days?
Well, Tony mentioned Dick Erickson.
I mean, he has the knowledge. I mean, let's set aside.
Ron and Joe are yeah. willing to come to.
Who are they?
Who?
Ron, Joe?
Ron and Joe from Omaha.
If we call those guys, they're the ones on. They're in the contract to do it.
Well, they've got a lot of them to do. So what would it be if we had Ron and Joe and Dick Erickson as the three?
We're on a public record here, but I would advise us to be very careful with selecting Mr. Erickson. That's all I would really elaborate on that, to be honest. But I understand the position you're in. My office will work with anybody. If they need anything from my office, we'll work with anybody you bring to the table.
Yeah, that's the point. We're trying to get this thing solved. We're trying to get over with it. Whatever it takes, that's what the board needs to do. I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, but I don't know what the rest of the board members...
One referee or five, it's going to cost the same in the end.
Yeah.
So I'll try to get through it quickly.
With the tax valuation guys, it's Ron and Joe, but they're a company. I mean, they've got Thad, Jameis. I mean, they've got, I can think of four or five appraisers there. Now, I know they're committed in a lot of counties, but if we talk to them, you know, instead of just getting one or two, maybe we can get three of the guys or four of the licensed appraisers in here. And I think that's key. You guys, you're not obligated to get a licensed appraiser, I don't believe, or I don't even know if they have to have a broker's license.
Well, you're right, because
we got five of us sitting right here that don't have no knowledge on appraisal or value or anything, and we can do it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You know.
So it does help us because of what they, just like when somebody asked me what an appraisal would do, that's the guys that write them. So if we get that type of person and they're within our compensation range, my recommendation would be to stay with those type. There's Associated Appraisers over in Sioux City. We could give them a call. Mark Rosno, his dad, some of the folks that work in some of these offices. I know the market's so, there's not a, the supply is down, the market's high, and I know they're all busy, but we're not asking for a lot of their time.
But there are people that have lived here for years and would like to continue to live here, and the market has been ballooned by the CF Industries, and that we live in Iowa, we got Iowa and South Dakota right on our borders, and they've shoved our values up. Now, is that fair for the people that are making $16 an hour, trying to live in a house?
No,
it's not right.
No, that's a big concern.
So anyway, you want to be careful of where you hire your people out of. Make sure that they're local, make sure they know the values, and make sure they know the people. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, because one thing that if we bring referees from Lincoln, Omaha, what knowledge they have in Dakota County for evaluation?
It's based on sales.
They don't have to. Use, when I talked about ethics and use PAP, there's laws that govern what they do, where their license is on the line, their living, what they make their living doing. There's no data they would take into consideration other than, and keep in mind these guys work in 93 counties, not all of them, but across this state. Other boards, other counties bring them in all the time. If you understand the use PAP and you understand the laws they're governed by and by the Nebraska Real Property Appraisal Board, if they were to come in here and try to balance us like a Lincoln or somebody like that, their license is gone. Hell, I would help you take their license. I mean, all we got to do is petition the Nebraska Real Property Appraisal Board and say these people are acting unethically. They can't take anything into consideration, and ultimately that's our whole process, but sales. When we boil it down, if somebody puts a sign in your front yard, what are you willing to accept for your property, and what is somebody going to write a check for? That's what we're trying to get to and be as fair as we can with all of our taxpayers. But I've never heard, ever.
Well, I'm going to call for a motion, guys, because I think we're going to beat this up until tomorrow night. Let's hire some appraisers. And let's set compensation. Well, compensation was $75, so we're set there. Now we just need to hire some appraisers. Tony's got one he threw out there, Dick Erickson.
I would just thought that then for him, you know, because he's had knowledge about what the price list here, and hire some soup from Omaha. I mean, let's have those three here and let's get over with it, and let's solve the situation. I mean, because it's not an easy thing. I mean, that's my motion. Hire Erickson, those two from Omaha. And
okay, we got a motion by Tony.
What was that firm again in a while?
Tax Valuation Inc. is the name of the. They've got appraisers all over the state.
Okay, so he can bring in.
He can bring somebody from Fall City. He can bring somebody in from Omaha. He can bring somebody in from wherever.
So we got a motion right now to hire these Tax Appraisers Inc. out of Omaha, and Dick Erickson. I need a second. That's $75 for compensation.
You got to do something. Go ahead, I did second it.
You said, I got a motion by Tony, a second by Dick McNair. Joan, would you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
No.
Okay, we're going to move on to item B, discuss and set additional dates for Board of Equalization to meet in July 2016 to review and accept referees' recommendations or set their own value on property valuation protests.
You guys need me? Actually,
what we've got going on now is the referees are going to come in on the 22nd, 23rd, and the 6th. Mm-hmm. So the commissioners won't be doing a refereeing.
Okay.
And now we just need to, do we need to set more dates for those referees?
No, it's for you to for look us at to their recommendations.
Their recommendations.
Somewhere close to the 25th, but give
we
us plenty of time.
We have July 6th. As
we have July 6th.
Five.
It's going to
five.
Take
we have July
at least
five.
A couple meetings, I'm sure, to get through them all.
Yeah, I think we had the 28th and the 5th, and 25th is the last day.
I would have
my recommendation would be I would have at least four set up.
Okay.
Maybe even a tentative five.
And we could start as soon as the 28th, you think? There'll be a few of them ready by
then. Well, I think from the stack, we're in the field right now doing the stuff scheduled for the 22nd.
All right.
And I'm thinking, I don't know if we can get through all of them. Before the hearings even start. So I think by the 28th, you're going to have quite...
We,
I mean, that's going to be a long...
We set June 28th, right. And we set July 5 already.
Okay.
At 9 a.m.
And then a couple more.
So we need...
If we get through them, we get through them, I guess, before that. But we better set plenty of dates. And we can always set more dates or not.
Yeah, we can...
That's my understanding, is we can come by... If we have two or three on the calendar, and the numbers are to the point where we need more, I believe, we can come back and set another one. In a meeting of the DOE, as long as you all approve it.
The 5th is a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, right after 4th of July, my friend.
Do you want to get in the next week?
The 5th is a Monday. No, it's Tuesday. That's right.
Tuesday.
If it's Tuesday, 4th Monday.
I'm going to be out of town on the 5th, but I'll be back the following week.
So, actually, that day they want to be to Board of Commissioners. Why do we want to be met on Monday? We need to meet on Tuesday. Can we meet? We need to meet on Tuesday and Wednesday, or what? I mean, because you,
I'll be
Scott,
here.
Scott,
I will be here the 5th.
Oh, you'll be with
me. I will. I'll be gone the 6th.
There'll be four of us here.
Yeah, there'll be four.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to be on the 28th.
Then I'll be here the 28th.
Okay.
And then the following week in July.
The 28th of June, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be here.
And then.
As well. I won't be here.
Let's set one for the next week, the week of the 11th.
Of July.
Of 11th of July?
That week sometime.
That would be good, because I know I'm starting to see hearings on the 6th.
Tuesday the 12th?
Yeah.
Okay. Tuesday the 12th, July 12th?
And then set one for the following week? Same date, same Tuesday?
Yeah.
The Tuesday?
The 19th.
19th.
At 9 a.m.?
Sure.
Okay, I'll need a motion to accept those dates.
So moved.
Got a motion by
second.
Bill Rohde, second by Scott Love. Would you call roll, please, Joan?
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Okay, now that being said, is there any public comment?
Randy?
Yeah, I just think... hiring people out of Omaha, the assessor said it don't matter. I think it makes a big difference. Because if I have a house that's 1,500 square feet, by the high school in South Sioux, somebody else has one in Southridge, and somebody has one down by where Scott Ford lives, and they're all the same age, there's three different valuations that are going to make a big difference there. People out of town aren't going to know that. I think you should be hiring local people only, just like Rick said during the meeting. Someone in Omaha or Lincoln has no idea what a desirable neighborhood is here compared to one side of town to the other.
Yeah, and that would be a legitimate concern, but our neighborhoods are already defined. So that's a perfect example of why a local would be important, but would not impact Dakota County, because a house in Southridge is in a different neighborhood than a house at a high school.
But still, they don't know which neighborhood.
But they can't go outside. So if the appraiser comes into the appraiser house, location is one of the first things he's going to look at. He's going to look at your house and he's going to find the five closest houses to yours.
But at times they have to go out that way. For example, my house, there are no comps out by me.
Yeah. And I understand that. I mean, for me to explain appraisal is going to be an all-day problem.
I've been in real estate 35 years. I understand it very well.
Well, it doesn't sound like it. I apologize, but that's not how it works. That's
I
not
make
how
a living doing
works.
It.
Hey. Let's not. No, I'm going to pull it right there. Let's not, we're kind of threw some insults out there, and I don't appreciate that.
I believe I didn't insult anybody. So if that was directed at me, I want it on the record. You and I
kind of did.
He's incorrect in what he's saying.
Enough said.
And there's enough.
Is there any other public comment? Any other public comment? Okay, meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.